Have you heard these words before? The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Do you remember who said it? Martin Luther King? More than once. It's become iconic. Do you remember what famous speech has these words? Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Abe Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address. You may or may not know that both of these well-known sayings are slightly adapted by King and Lincoln from the speeches of Unitarian Transcendentalist minister Theodore Parker, who lived from 1810 to 1850. Parker said this, "I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eye reaches but a little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by experience of mere sight. I can divine it by conscience. And from what I see by conscience, I am sure it bends toward justice." And in a speech in 1850, he said, "A government of the people, by the people, one word difference for all the people." Both King and Lincoln found in Unitarian words and history inspiration from a man who, like them, was a leader his entire life in the fight for equality and freedom for all. In times of trouble in our common life, which we now experience, in my considered opinion, our Unitarian Universalist ancestors are go-to people for me. Honestly, they are an ongoing presence in my life in ways that heal and strengthen me. Parker is one of the most inspiring to me. Partly because he was that rare being who paid attention to his inner spiritual life and from that life felt called to work for justice. Parker was born in Lexington, Massachusetts, and served congregations in West Roxbury and Boston. At one time, his church in Boston had over 7,000 members. That's a big Thanksgiving potluck. He spoke out against the Fugitive Slave Act, which required residents of the North to return people who had escaped Southern slavery. Parker had a gun in his office at all times because he feared so much for his life. He harbored those who had escaped from the South in his own home and in his church, and he encouraged others to do the same. Theodore Parker also championed the rights of women. It's interesting to note that the feminist Betty Friedan has as the introduction to her book, The Feminine Mystique, which was published in 1969, with the words of Theodore Parker, and these words are, "The domestic function of the woman does not exhaust her powers. To make one half of the human race consume its energies in the functions of housekeeper, wife, and mother is a monstrous waste of the most precious material God ever made." Dated perhaps, but you get the gist. I find it very comforting to want to believe that the arc of the moral universe bends toward justice. I notice of late that I have doubted this some. There is in me and in many I have spoken with a sadness, a deep sadness, to see racist and misogynist and ableist and heterosexist and violent language freely used and supported in our national election process, and to wonder if we will be burdened with policies based on such views.
Greetings, salutations. John Adams here.
John Adams here? Wait, I want to greet you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Massachusetts is my part of America. You know, I lived in Quincy, just down the road. I was a member of the Quincy Unitarian Church with my wife, Abigail. In fact, I am buried there with her. By the way, is it true that they sold the silver from my church?
Yes, it has been sold, Mr. Adams. But my guess is, that if you were living in these times, you yourself would choose continuation of the faith and the church and its works over mere objects made of silver.
Well, if you put it that way, you call me to my better self.
Mr. Adams, you are still such a powerful figure in our national identity. A drafter and signer of the Constitution, second president of these United States, among other things. My guess is you have something to say about the role that religion seems to be playing in national politics in these times. I'm guessing this troubles you.
First, let me say that I see the religious diversity in this country, and I am so very pleased and proud. This was a dream for those of us who argue the formative doctrines of our nation. The Constitution provides a framework that is meant to ensure the freedom of belief. Tell me, is it true that some today want to require people of the Muslim faith to register with the government?
It has been mentioned as a possibility.
The words separation of church and state are not in the Constitution. That was probably an oversight. I guess when we wrote, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion, we thought it was obvious. I signed the Treaty of Tripoli in 1797, which reassured that Muslim nation that the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion. So yes, it is upsetting and anti-democracy.
I have to be honest, many of us here are discouraged by this kind of attitude toward Muslim Americans and other Americans, immigrants, people of color.
Discouraged? I do know something about that. I traveled back and forth to Philadelphia from Massachusetts in every season and every weather on a horse to help birth the nation on principles of equality, freedom, democracy, and justice. We served at great expense to our families. There were many, many moments of discouragement, but we always knew we were creating a nation based on principles larger than individual comfort. Discouragement is not a place you have the luxury of residing for too long.
Point taken.
We struggled to maintain the higher values of democracy without any certainty that we would prevail. You must do the same. In my considered opinion, there will never be a time in history when vigilance is not needed to ensure that democratic principles are maintained. We human beings are complicated and motivated by many things. It is never finished, really.
So you're saying that we should not expect that maintaining democracy will ever be easy because human beings are not easy. This helps me somehow.
Be well, then, Reverend Hepler, and to all who work with you to keep the Constitution, the principles of American democracy, alive and well. Now I shall return to my eternal conversations and arguments with my friend Thomas Jefferson. That is heaven. Morning, ma'am.
Did John Adams just say good morning to me? Allow me to introduce myself.
Yes.
I'm Julia Ward Howe.
Welcome. Miss Howe, such an honor. You are one of my heroines. I have more than once honored you by taking flowers to your grave at Mount Auburn Cemetery and taking others there to honor you as well.
Well, my dear, that's very nice. But I would much rather you honor me by working for the equality of women. Pardon me, I have never been one to mince words. It got me into a lot of trouble.
To tell you the truth, we here today, I think all would agree, have benefited greatly from your outspoken ways. It's one of the things we admire most about you because voices were needed and you spoke up.
Thank you, dear. Now, I have heard that you are feeling discouraged and have lost your compass because of some of the things happening in this great land now. You wonder if all of the work through all of the years by all of the people has been worth anything. Am I right?
Well, I confess, standing in your presence, I'm a little uncomfortable about saying that what you heard is true.
My dear. Here you are as a minister of the Unitarian Church. In my time, most people would never have imagined that a woman could be a clergy person. But brave women struggled to make that so, and here you are. And might I remind you, in my lifetime, women could not even vote. Suffrage was something I worked for all of my adult life, and I missed the privilege by 10 years. Was my work and the work of all the suffragists worthless just because I did not see it happen? My dear, you have just had a woman as candidate for President of the United States. Astounding and affirming.
I see where you're going with this. When you died, you could not know if the arc of the moral universe would bend toward the right of women to vote. Yet your work helped make that happen.
Precisely. Human beings are complicated and motivated by many things. We cannot see the entire moral universe with our individual eyes, as my colleague in justice making, Reverend Parker, said. The work for equality, justice, democracy, freedom of religion, these will never end. I was taken by the image of the quilt here this morning. We keep working, my dear, on the stitches when it is our time to sew. Not because we can ensure that the overall quilt will be beautiful, but because it is the right thing to do. I take my leave.
That's right. Julia Ward Howe wrote the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And did you know that it was first performed across the street at Plymouth Church? Mr. Darwin, we are so honored. What brings you here from beyond this time to Framingham?
Well, I would go from heaven to earth to be able to collect more scientific data and to help humans increasingly understand the world. It was my destiny to do so when I lived. I take it that the theory of evolution is mostly accepted these days?
Yes, indeed, mostly it is. And thank you for your work. We know that you were ostracized for following that destiny.
Yes. My theory of evolution was anathema to most of the British world of the day. The prevailing belief, a Christian belief, was that everything that existed was created by God just as it currently appeared. Any reasonable person could look at my data and know otherwise.
What was it like being so maligned and ostracized for your work?
I agonized over it. Particularly because my wife was a devout Christian. She felt, like many others, that the theory of evolution meant that human beings were animals with no soul. She worried about my eternal soul. Her anguish made me hold back on sharing my research for some time.
What finally prompted you to do so?
Well, my family was Unitarian. My father and grandfather were scientists. We were open to reconciling the data of science with the faith of religion. Still, it was a painful and long process.
We are grateful for your part, Mr. Darwin, in helping the human community learn more about its actual origins. We here are currently faced with a fight to have all of our nation take climate change seriously. Some still deny the science. Can you believe that?
People are complicated, and we are motivated by many things. There will always be work to do in bringing people to accept new science and ideas. I see the urgency of your work, and I wish you well.
Thank you, Mr. Darwin. I see. Coming toward us, Dorothea Dix.
Framingham, Massachusetts, and this congregation here since 1701. It is comforting to be among you and know that the faith has been maintained, though changed, I'm sure. It was just to the west of you in Worcester that I founded the first public institution for what we then called the insane. I hear that you now use the words mentally ill so much better.
You worked for reform for the mentally ill and for those in prison. What inspired you to do this work?
I once took a job as an educator in a Massachusetts prison. I was appalled at what I found there. People starved and beaten and left naked in unheated cells. Disregard for the dignity of people was rampant. Many of the people in prison were there not for criminal offenses, but because they were mentally ill. This offended and haunted me. I decided to visit every similar institution in Massachusetts and gather data about the conditions therein. I took what I learned to the Massachusetts legislature and implored them to take the high road and change these abominations. They listened and gave the financing for the Worcester Institution.
For all of the increased gentleness and consciousness and care that has ultimately brought to this world through you, we are at this Thanksgiving time so very grateful.
Looking back, I see what a troubled person I was. I had a difficult early life and could have used help in understanding it. It is so humbling to see all of the services you have for people now. If I had a part in making that happen, then my life, troubled though it was, has made a difference.
There is no doubt that your life has made a difference. To be honest, there is still much inhumanity in our current prison system. You would be surprised to learn that many prisons are private for-profit institutions, which prey on the more fragile to keep them full. The Unitarian Universalists of this state and others are going to their legislators, as you did, to educate and witness and demand prison reform. We are walking in your shoes in so doing. But let me ask you, since you've been able to witness the positive changes in America for the mentally ill and prisoners, would you say that you agree with your fellow Unitarian in history, Theodore Parker, that the arc of the universe ultimately bends toward justice?
Well, as a young woman, I would say that I knew this for sure. As I grew older, I realized that whether or not the arc ultimately keeps bending towards justice is not mine to know. But I agree that if we listen to our conscience, or what you could call that place of knowing, of spiritual connection with all life, we will be participating in the creation of that possibility. It seems that there will always be the need to struggle towards making the world a more gentle place. We human beings are complicated, are we not? And motivated by many things. We who are privileged enough to be able to contribute to the arc's trajectory towards justice do so because it is the right thing to do.
We are happy you have been here to visit with us and give us that perspective. It is comforting.
Farewell, my brothers and sisters.
There is no doubt that the arc of the moral universe is long. Perhaps it is so that it ultimately bends towards justice. We cannot know for sure. Our ancestors, our spiritual ancestors, have offered us their wisdom. Justice is an ongoing process, requiring vigilance and an allegiance to principles that transcend religion and power, prestige and profit. Because human beings are complicated and motivated by many things, this work will probably always need to be done. On this Thanksgiving weekend, may we send our appreciation backward into history to those who gave their lives to values greater than self, and forward to those who will come after. It is our turn now, and we shall not be moved away from the tasks before us. We affirm that the work of justice and compassion, equality, is what love calls us toward, and it is the right thing to do. And dear people, let us also continue to sing and to dance and to play, to celebrate life, to be grateful for it, savoring our lives even as we work to save it. Will you rise and sing America the Beautiful to the words printed on the front of your order of service.